We are so blessed to be able to share with you online today. So we encourage you to grab your Bibles, your devices with your Bible apps, and walk with us in God's Word as we worship together. Our prayer is that God, the God of all peace, would bring just that special measure of comfort and encouragement through this worship space today. May God bless you.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory
forever and ever.
Amen.
You are Lord of my life, I claim it. You A young man went into a drugstore to buy 3 boxes of chocolate, small, medium, and large. And when the pharmacist asked him about the 3 boxes, he said, "Well, I'm going over to a new girlfriend's house for supper, and then we're going out. If she only lets me hold her hand, then I'll give her the small box. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, well, then I'll give her the medium box. But if she really lets me smooch seriously, I'll give her the big box." He made his purchase and he left. That evening, as he sat down at dinner with his girlfriend's family, he asked if he could say the prayer before the meal. And he began to pray. And he prayed an earnest, intense prayer that lasted for almost 5 minutes. And when he finished, his girlfriend said, "You never told me you were such a religious person." And he said, "And you never told me that your dad was a pharmacist." Well, it's a good thing to pray, whatever the circumstances. Jesus had a great deal to say about prayer. His disciples watched him and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And so our story begins with a widow who had an adversary who was trying to take advantage of her. And in Jesus' parable, this widow not only had the hurdle of being a female, she faced a terrible judge. So she felt her only recourse was to come before him repeatedly crying, "Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary." He dismissed her claim, but she kept coming back, constantly begging for justice. He must have thought, "Oh no, not her again." And in verse 5, he admits she bothered him. He was upset because she was constantly in his face. Well, there are 3 important prayer principles that Jesus taught us in this story. They are, don't worry, pray. In the parable, the widow didn't sit at home wringing her hands about her problem. Instead of worrying, she got up and approached the only person who could help her, the judge. The NASB version says, "Pray and do not lose heart." Remember, these words were penned by a man sitting in a dark, damp, depressing dungeon. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will just come and settle you down. So when you face a challenging circumstance, you have 2 choices. You can lose heart and let worrisome thoughts control your mind, or we can pray about it. I recently read an interesting testimony from a Christian man who owned a construction company. He was losing sleep worrying about some financial problems that he faced in his company. And one morning after another night filled with worry, he opened his Bible and his devotional guide. And that morning he was reading from Matthew 6, where Jesus commanded his followers not to worry. Jesus said, "Consider the sparrows. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, but your heavenly Father takes care of them, and you are much more valuable to him than the sparrows." His devotional guide spoke about how God cares for the birds so much when a single sparrow falls dead to the earth. God is aware. And God cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you." A few days earlier on the job site, they had been removing trees, and the owner had noticed that one of the trees had a bird nest with baby birds in it. He marked the tree and left word not to cut it down. But on this day, he realized the tree would have to come down because they couldn't delay the project any longer. The owner used a bucket truck to lift him up to the bird's nest, and when he looked in, the birds were gone. They had learned to fly. Well, since he was up there anyway, he removed the nest. And you know, the birds use, I'm always amazed at the scraps that the birds use to make a nest. And as he examined the nest, he discovered that the birds had used straw and twigs, and yes, even little strips of paper. He removed one sliver of paper, and what he read almost caused him to fall out of the bucket. Written on the fragment were these words, "God cares for you." He realized God was using that bird nest to reinforce his message. And today the man's business is doing well, and he prays more and he worries less, and he keeps that bird's nest in his office. God's word also encourages us to not quit, but to pray persistently. You see, in this story, the widow kept on begging the judge to grant her justice. She didn't just ask once and say, "Let me know what you decide." She peppered his ears with persistent petitions. In Psalm 55, 16 and 17, David wrote, "I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." Even Jesus prayed persistently. He prayed, "Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." He prayed it again and again. His Father heard him and gave him the strength and resolve to face the cup, which was the cross. Paul had some kind of painful affliction he called a thorn in the flesh, and he begged the Lord to remove the pain. He asked not once, not twice, but three times before the Lord acknowledged him. And when God acknowledged and answered, it wasn't the answer that Paul was wanting. God didn't take away the thorn. Instead, he gave him the grace to cope with the thorn. And so Paul began to give God glory in the midst of his pain. So, my friends, if you're ever tempted to give up, just remember the composer Brahms. It took him 7 long years to write his famous lullaby. I guess because he kept falling asleep at the piano. God has always honored persistence. I have always appreciated Emmett Smith. He set the NFL rushing record a while back, but his strength lies in his ability to persist. He just kept running. He has run for so many yards. It's taken him 13 years to run only 9.5 miles with 11 huge defensive players trying to take his head off while doing it. Emmett's average ran over 9.5 miles was 4.3 yards at a time. That means he'd been tackled almost 4,000 times. And do you know what he did after every tackle? He got back up and he ran the ball again. Yeah, he was injured a few times. He was sidelined a few times, but he always returned. You see, even the best of people get knocked down in life, but what sets them apart from the quitters is that they get right back up. Life is full of adversarial people who will tackle you. You will face difficult circumstances that trip your feet out from under you. The poor widow in Jesus' parable had been knocked flat on her face, but she refused to stay down. She got up and persistently made her request to the judge. We also see in conclusion this morning that we're not to doubt, but to pray positively. You see, we are represented by the widow. She didn't worry, and she was persistent in her requests. But is God like that crooked judge? Does he have to be pestered and coerced before he will answer your prayers? Not at all. Parables not only contain comparisons, but a contrast as well. And so in James 1, we are told when we pray for wisdom, God will give it to us generously. And then James adds a powerful warning about letting doubt creep into your prayers. He says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord." Compare that to the promise that we find in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. The difference is learning for you and I to pray positively without doubting. And sadly, many Christians pray, but they really don't expect an answer. I heard about a Sunday school teacher who had her children write letters to a missionary they had been praying for, and the teacher explained the missionary was very busy and wouldn't have time to send a reply to every child, so they should not expect to hear back from him. One little boy wrote this letter, "Dear Mr. Smith, I am praying for you. I am not expecting an answer." Are we like that when we pray? Are we really not expecting an answer from God? I've known people who have quit praying because they didn't seem to get an answer. If I walk into a room and flip the light switch on, I expect the light to come on. If it doesn't, I don't get upset with Thomas Edison and say electricity is a lie. I start looking for the problem. Maybe it's the light bulb. Maybe it's burned out. Maybe a breaker has been thrown or the power is out. If it seems your prayers aren't answered, don't quit praying. Start looking for the reason. It may be the wrong requests. It may be an unconfessed sin in your life. Or maybe it is that it was not God's timing for that prayer to be answered. You see, God answers prayers in many ways. God may answer our prayers quickly. The word quickly is a relative term. If someone was injured, I would say call 911 quickly. If a couple gets married and only 4 months after they met, they might say they sure got married quickly. The word Jesus used means suddenly. Your prayers may seem to be unanswered for months, and then boom, God gives the answer. God may answer your prayer later. When your prayer is heard in heaven, God acts on the request immediately. But it may take a while before you get his answer. So if it seems God hasn't answered your prayer yet, don't quit. The answer could be just around the corner. God's delays are not God's denials. Our sense of timing is flawed, but God's timing is impeccable. And God may answer your prayer better. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for because God has something better in store for us. Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, once said, "If God answered every prayer of mine, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. I had a friend growing up who had the ugliest bicycle I'd ever seen. It was a hand-me-down made from the parts of other bicycles. It was so ugly, it didn't even have handlebar grips. And he was always complaining that his hands would slip off the slick handlebars. And he pestered his dad to buy him some handlebar grips, but his dad kept refusing. And one day, his dad took him to the auto hardware store, and near the front door, there were some new handlebar grips for sale. They were plastic, you know, they had the long streamers hanging from them. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy, I just got to have these handlebar grips. Please, Daddy, Daddy." His dad looked and said to him, "No, son, you don't really need those grips. Now come with me to the back of the store." And as he followed his dad, my friend was bitter and frustrated and, you know, probably pouting. And under his breath, he was muttering, "I'll never get anything. It's just a lousy $3. My dad sure is mean." When they got to the back of the store, the owner wheeled out a shiny, brand new bicycle, complete with handlebar grips with plastic streamers. And my friend's dad said, "Here, son, it's an early birthday present. I wouldn't buy you the handlebar grips because I ordered you this new bicycle." My friend was ecstatic, and as he wheeled his new bike out the front door, he never even gave those handlebar grips a second glance. You see, sometimes when we ask God for something, he has something better in store for us. And then God may answer our prayers with a no. But there's still an answer to prayer. Don't ever stop praying until you hear God say no. At that point, stop making that request and start praying in a different way. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Prayer is requests. The essence of a request, as distinct from a demand, is that it may or may not be granted. And if an infinitely wise being listens to the request of a finite and foolish creature, of course he will sometimes grant them and sometimes refuse them." If God had granted all the silly prayers I've made in my life, I wonder where I would be today. So as you have joined with us on Whitby Online today, what is God trying to say to you personally? Are you consumed with worry and anxiety? God says pray instead. Have you stopped praying about a need in your life? Are you considered quitting in some area where God has placed you? Don't quit. Keep on praying persistently. Are you filled with doubt and prayer? Are you filled with doubt about prayer? Start praying positively, expecting God to answer. And every time you walk through a door that says push, let God remind you to pray until something happens. Thank you.
protection from the enemy unseen. Father, hear my prayer.
Shelter me, shelter me. Stretch out your arm and hold me close to thee. Shelter me, shelter me. Hold me close to thee.
Sinful things I seek. I don't want to do the things I do. Lord, my spirit's willing, but my body is so weak. May I find strength.